ladies and gentlemen, and 6'8" Mexicans worldwide.
Damn.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Emo Brown, the podcast, brought to you by the wonderful people of Grasshopper for your medicinal recreational cannabis needs. Make sure you pop into Grasshopper, make your card collect, get 3 pre-rolls for $12, get a discount, do all of the things. But in addition to Grasshopper today, Barry, making their debut, their wonderful debut with us, are the people of the Microwave Network. That's right, kids. Legal mushrooms.
Wow.
I'm on a sick one on legal mushrooms right now, dude.
You feeling functional
mushrooms. I put a little in my coffee, I feel revitalized. I feel a little bit cognitive, if that's a term I may use. I feel more in tune. I'm here being dwarfed by the tallest Mexican that I think I've ever encountered in my life.
You need to open your horizons.
I do. We've had him on before. He's here again to join us, to promover. Ladies and gentlemen, with me today is Jose Francisco Pablos Mendoza, alias Paco Pablos.
How you doing, guys?
World-renowned artist.
We do what we can.
World-renowned artist, respected by everyone in the industry, an icon in the game.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Look at you, man.
Let's put that on the bio.
Bienvenido, bro. Welcome back.
Gracias, gracias.
Thank you for paying us a visit. Thank you for cruising through. What have you been up to? What's been going on in the wonderful world of this artist's life?
Dude, just keep on grinding. Keep on doing our things, you know? That's what we were saying before, you know, we started the show. When you're an artist, you just need to keep on going. You know, just keep on keeping on because, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, that thing is just one off. So what's the next one?
It doesn't hurt that you're extremely talented in what you do, bro. What's that?
Well,
heavy duty lo que haces.
Yeah.
But you need to pair it up
with
that hustle.
This is something that a lot of artists and that I've, you know, share my experience of or you know, talk to them about, you know, that they ask me for advices and stuff. It's just plain and simple. We create art, okay? That's our job. But that's just 50% of it. You know, because the other 50% of it, you have to market yourself. You have to sell yourself. What we do is a product. But you still need to distribute it. You still need to, you know, market it. You still need to show it to the world. Because what's the point of having gold when nobody's going to be able to see it?
You're a small business.
Exactly. That's at the end of the day. That's what
you are. A small business.
That's what it is. So
you are your own brand.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You as an artist and what you do, your craft, it's your product. It's your brand. You know, you don't see, you know, Picasso's with another name. Mm. It's a Picasso, you know, because it's a brand name. Just like me, Paco Pablo is a brand name. It's an artist. Obviously, I'm Jose Francisco Pablo Mendoza de la Cuarta. You know, but Paco Pablo is the artist. Paco Pablo is the brand. The signature is what you see. You know, so that's what you need to learn how to market and how to sell it.
And is that something you feel that artists have a hard time grasping?
Totally.
¿En serio?
Totally. Just think about it. How many artists, including me, have you seen that are not weird in some way or another? Most of us are introverts, or we don't like to talk to a lot of people with a broader, you know, when you're in events, we don't really want to talk to people just because it's our nature. Our nature is to be creative. Our nature is to be, you know, to show the world what we do, what we can create with our hands or with our mind or whatever we do, you know, but that's our job. But the other part, it's what we fight a lot with, you know. I mean, don't take it wrong. I hate people. Mm. You know, I hate people. I get crowded. You know, I get there's a threshold that if I cross it, I'm like done. I don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
I don't want to do anything else. You know,
at your level, I assume that you encounter that a lot.
Well, it's not that. Like I am an introvert playing a perfect extrovert.
Mm.
You know, because I understand that in order for me to go places, I need to do the things that I'm uncomfortable with. I need to get out of my comfort zone and look for what I want.
You need these events.
Exactly.
You need to go out and promote.
That's exactly
right.
You need
to come on the Emo Brown podcast, the number one rated podcast in all of
the world. That's why we're here.
I mean, two times.
Well, you come off very natural, bro. I mean, from the first time we met and we were just hanging out, te gusta platicar. You like sharing stories. So this is just, you've become really good at being a professional.
Yes. the way I see it is in order for you to make people understand that they also can do it, you need to share it. You need to talk to them. You need to show them. And that's what I pride myself to. I don't just talk to talk. I show you with examples. You know, there's just like Michael Jordan said, right? There's nothing that I've asked you to do that I haven't done. You know, so if I tell you, you need to go and market yourself, you need to do, it's because I already
because
did.
It's been done by him, exactly. By you, by me, by anyone
by
else.
By anyone that knows and understand the game. You know, you said it yourself in your last interview. You said, if you understand the game that you're playing, then everything flows. Mm-hmm. But you need to understand the game you're playing. You need to know what field you're playing on.
First, you got to understand the rules of the game.
Yeah.
Then you got to understand how to play the game. Then eventually, if you do it all well, you take over the game.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
It becomes
you
yours.
Know the rules. Yeah. Exactly.
It's you your playground.
Over. Exactly.
You know, you get to know, you know the playing pieces, you know the opponents, you know what the obstacles are, you know where the shortcuts are.
Yeah.
Es aprender el partido, aprender el juego.
Exactamente.
How long have you been an artist now?
Professionally, like 11, almost 12 years. You know, like since I got my first gig that I got paid to do, that was like 12 years ago.
And you were all in ever since then?
There's no other way. I mean, I was all in. Whatever the outcome was going to be, was going to be. There's absolutely nothing I could do about the outcome. The only thing I could do was what I do, you know? So, you know.
Sink or swim. I feel like that's best way to approach a situation.
You want
to
learn how to swim, jump in the fucking
Tírate
water.
Al agua.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because it's your survival mechanism kicking in, you know? So it doesn't matter the outcome because you don't have control on the outcome. You know, there's absolutely nothing you can do to control what's going to happen. What you have control on is what you're going to present, what you're going to create, what you're going to show.
Such a mental block when you try to understand and control the narrative of the outcome. O sea, te puedes perder en eso.
Claro, claro.
I've been listening to audiobooks endlessly now for like the better part of the last year on how to get past certain things. Porque me pierdo yo. Yeah. Like, I don't get lost in the... in the actual process, I want to fast forward. I want to learn to sprint before I walk.
Yeah.
I want to learn to walk before I crawl.
Yeah.
I want to get to the end game and be like, okay, well, how do I do this? Yeah, eso no me pierdo.
Yeah,
I got to learn to slow it down.
But eso es natural because we everyone wants to run before they start to crawl, you know? But that's the part of the journey, if you want to call it that way. You need to understand. You need to learn as you go. You know, dude, I've made 100,000 mistakes and I'm probably going to make 300,000 more, you know? But that's how you learn. That's how you're like, okay, I fucked up here, but if I do it this way, then I can avoid that.
Yeah.
You know? So I always tell my crew and the people that we're working with, the hardest thing to do is the first one. Whatever you're going to do, it's the first. If it's a partnership, the first partnership, the first collaboration is going to be the hardest one because we don't know what we're going to do. You know, we don't know what the outcome's going to be.
You're creating the blueprint.
Exactly. So you're starting to see what works and what doesn't. So now in your second show or in your second partnership or project, whatever, now you have historically.
You got that experience.
Exactly.
A little bit of a blueprint.
This didn't work. This didn't work. Let's maybe switch it or twitch it or do this or do that. And then you started changing things here and there. And then you start getting the experience to make things better, you know, sooner. But you have to fuck up. You have to. You know, it's part of a journey. It's part of a life. It's part of life. Everyone
Did you hear
does.
That, Barry? You have to fuck up. Yeah,
I've been doing
that. You just
did
it right now. Like, you got to turn on your mic. See, Jesus, Lord Barry. And it's true. Like, if I'm listening to somebody, like if I was an up-and-coming artist and I went to one of your seminars, if you have seminars and you're giving a speech and this, I want to know that the person at the podium who's telling me their story has fallen.
Yeah.
Because how am I going to learn from somebody who's never fallen?
Exactly.
I need to learn from somebody who's just eating shit but has found the way to get back up, do it again, and then overcome what he did the first time.
Yeah.
I don't want to learn from somebody. Everything has just been cherries, jubilee. Everything's like, oh, and I've done this, and I've done that. Well, what happened when you fell? Oh, I haven't fallen. Nah.
Yeah, because just like Dominic Cruz said, yep. I rather lose and learn from it than never taste that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when obviously we're just sounded like haters, right? Oh, I don't want to lose, and I don't want to. But you have to, because then you learn what it is, and you understand that it doesn't kill you. You understand that, okay, well, I lost, I fucked up, I you know, I did this thing wrong.
I learned.
Nothing happened. I just, okay, get up and move on to the next one. You know, look forward to what's next. You know, that's the other part. A lot of people tend to gravitate around their past mistakes. You know, when in reality is you just have to look at them, learn from them, and just move on. Because there's absolutely nothing you can do about the past. You know? It's plain and simple. Depression lives in the past and anxiety lives in the future. You need to live present.
We're just getting a motivational speech from freaking Pago Palos today, man. I thought we were here to like promote something. And the said, no, sit down. We're going to learn to deal with things today, my friend. We're going to unwrap some of these anxious moments. But it's the truth. You want to succeed in everything, you got to know how to work around certain obstacles.
That's exactly
You want to succeed in something, you got to learn to fall. You got to learn to stand up.
That's exactly right.
Have you fallen a lot then? It's safe to
a
say
lot.
You've fallen a lot.
A lot. A lot. I mean, you learn, you know, especially. See, this is another thing that I tell artists, because when you're an architect, you just, you know, graduate and then you go and work for a firm. When you are a doctor, you do the same thing and you go to a hospital. You know, when you're a lawyer, you do the same thing. What do you do when you're an artist? Mm-hmm. You go and talk to a gallery, but the gallery wants you to have experience with galleries in order for you to get. So it's the catch-22. How do I get in when you don't let me?
You can't have a show here unless you've had shows in the
exactly.
past. But so this is my first
no
show.
Protocol.
Yeah.
There's no protocol to follow. That's the reason why I always stress the word marketing, or market yourself, or sell yourself. Because that's the only way that people is going to pay attention to you, you know, because it doesn't matter. Like I said, it doesn't matter if you're the best artist in the world. If nobody knows about it, nobody's going to see it. You know,
it's true, man. And there's probably so many artists out there that struggle with that bridging of the gap from having the talent, having the know-how, having the creativity, yeah. just having that it factor, but not knowing how to get on a platform and push, get
That's
on a
exactly
platform
right.
and get your art out to people, you know, and your creative outlet.
A lot of people, you know, obviously everyone's entitled to their opinion. You know, as an artist, you have to embrace when their comments are negative or positive. So when the people tell me, well, I don't like your art, or I don't like what you do, or you know, I don't like your style. That's perfect.
People
you know,
say
that's
that.
Totally you. Yeah, there's always trolls online. Always. Yeah. But this is the thing. I give them work. As a creator, I create job for you so you can hate on me.
Yeah, I'm over here just creating opportunities.
Exactly. So you can do all, you know, talk shit all you want. I'm the one here next to these guys. I'm mm-hmm. the one here in these events. I'm the one getting involved into these organizations, you know? So where are you? You're trolling from your mom's couch. You know, desktop warriors are going to be everywhere.
I'm telling you, it's true.
It is true. But see, that's the thing. You are entitled to your opinion when you don't like. This is what I tell them. I never said I was the best.
And you've worked with a lot of the best, though.
Yeah. I mean, you, when you are in certain level, you fuck with the best people in different industries. You know, but that's thanks to your work. Believe me, my paintings, my work wasn't good, I would not be anywhere. You know, just like Michael Jordan, if he was not good at what he did, the shoes would not sell. So you need to back it up.
Being a good artist is your buy-in to the poker game.
Exactly.
That's how you sit at the table. You know, I am a good artist. I'm at the table. Everything that happens after that,
it's up to you.
It's going
to
be on
it's
you.
It's up to you.
You can put your foot in the door. Yeah. Now, okay, can you hustle? Can you work? Can you outperform anybody else that's coming? Are you able to overlook the naysayers, the trolls, the haters? Can you turn that into a positive outlook?
Yeah.
And it looks like you have, man.
Well, it's not been easy, you know, but you learn, you know, at the beginning, obviously, when you hear people saying, well, I don't like what you do, I don't know what you're doing, you know, you get your doubts. I've always believed in myself, always. It doesn't matter what it is, how fucked up the situation was. I've always known that I was going to be okay. But still, those words hurt, man. You know, when you want to do something, you know, as a way of living, and then all of a sudden you have random people telling random shit. You know, especially when I started on Instagram. Dude, everybody would love to say whatever they wanted. You know, so
because there's no repercussion.
Exactly. Desktop warriors. You know, you are behind a computer just
you can just
shit.
Throw it out there and you know it's gonna hit you.
Exactly.
And you can throw it back and it's like, okay.
Now I decide if I want to let that sink in or just say sure, whatever. You know, just brush it off. Because if you started to let all of those things set in, oh my God, dude, you're going to believe that you're nothing.
In your line of work, social media obviously plays a big role.
Yes, massive.
So you need to learn and gain that thick layer of skin immediately.
Yes.
Or else it could derail you ASAP.
Yeah, totally. Because that's the thing. I mean, and that's a fucked up part about social media. People don't understand the power of their words. Not everyone is strong-minded. Not everyone is able to handle that heat. You don't know the situation, what they are. he might have a really, really, really bad week where he lost people, or you never know what's the mindset of someone. So when you talk shit, you don't know what the repercussions of that's going to be. You know, so he can be fatal sometimes.
These guys don't care.
You know, these guys don't care because they don't have no one to tell them, hey, you did wrong. You know, because look at their accounts. They're Paola 60666. You know, they just made up.
Pinche
you know,
Paola 60666.
I know. I know. It's like, okay. So it's part of a journey. But again, you understand that as you go. But you have to be willing to go through it.
Ugh.
I know.
That's a horrible journey to accept the ticket.
It's a horrible journey. It's a horrible journey, but at the same time.
Very rewarding.
Very rewarding. And it gives you the experiences. You know, at the end of the day, I think that it's not how much money you make. It's not, you know, the impact that you might have or what you do. Obviously, that plays an important part. But at the end of the day, the experiences and the things that you share are the things that are important, especially for someone that's listening. You know, because when they are listening, they pay attention of what you say and the message that you want to deliver. So when you do, they get it. They are receptive to it. You know, and that's the difference. And that's the thing that I want to tell people, you know, artists, just don't pay attention to what everyone says, especially not on social media.
Worst place.
You know, yeah, because that's the other thing. No one's going to talk shit about my artwork in front of me.
No, pues no.
No, pues no way.
You're 6'8".
That's exactly right. They're 100 pounds, so they're going to be like,
until
no, I'm going
to. Now.
No. Until now.
Bring up a slide number 5, Barry. Como crees,
morro? But that's the thing. It's a whole different scenario when you want to talk shit in front of the person or behind them.
And that's never happened, has it?
You know what? I had one time they told me, you know what? I didn't like it that much. And I was like, you know what? I got to give it to you. I didn't like it either, but I didn't have much time to come up with, you know, something unique, you know, and that's something that you learn, you know. That was one of my first paintings. And I remember I got criticism because I was starting. You have to understand, dude, this was like, I believe like my second or third professional painting. I had no idea what I was doing. You know, I didn't know what to use. I didn't even know where to fucking buy the canvases.
So there was no mentor. There was no somebody that took you under their wing.
No. The only experience that I had is what I learned back in Guadalajara in college. You know, the techniques that they told me, you know, because I'm a graphic designer. I'm a bachelor in graphic designer. But, you know, they every year, every semester, they teach you a different technique, you know. So I remember that and I started to put shit together. You know, it's like we just said, you jump in the water and then you figure out how to swim. So I jump in the water and they were like, okay, now learn how to swim. Here's your opportunity.
Yeah.
And I had to scrap up. You know, I remember I didn't even know that the Michaels sell canvases. You know, I went to Blick.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, okay, I mean, where do I get this stuff?
So to that level, like yeah, legitimately.
I didn't know where. I didn't know why. I mean, I knew what I wanted to do, but I didn't know where to start.
Having that experience of really just being in the dark, looking for walls and a guide, is that something that you use with yourself in helping younger artists come up in the game? Do you see yourself as a mentor to other young artists in this industry, or
I don't like to teach I don't like to I'll give you advice. I'll give you my perspective, my point of view, because to say I'm gonna teach you how to do it, that it's putting yourself above
on a pedestal.
Exactly. And that's not right. Because at the end of the day, everyone's going to learn from everyone. You know, like you might be an artist and I might like something that you do. That doesn't mean that you're better or that I'm better than you. You know, it's just complementing each other. Like if I see what you do, I might be like, hey, that's pretty cool how you do it. I've done it before. You know, where I've seen the artists that they do certain things or they apply certain products or whatever. And I'm intrigued. I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool how you do it. You know, so I want to learn because, like I said, when you want to teach or when you want, you put yourself in a pedestal that nobody should, you know, should be there, you know, especially not self-proclaiming there. You know, I remember my brother congratulated me not too long ago because of an event. And I'm like, hey, man, thank you. We do what we can. And he's like, hey, you don't have to be humble with me. You know, you fuck that. You're a badass. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, but I let other people brag about me for me, you know, just because that's what everyone should be. If you're good at something, You shouldn't
be tooting your own horn.
Talking. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I just let, you know, if people want to brag about what I do, let them.
Let them do it.
You know, and that's, to me, that's the best thing to do. Because you don't say anything that it's not true. You don't say anything. Everyone else is saying what you're doing. You know, it's spreading the word.
Sometimes it's just better to be quiet and let everyone else say it for you.
Yeah, dude, because sometimes the quietest guy is the loudest dude. Mm-hmm. You know, and the loudest dude is the weakest one.
Normalmente. Damn, we're pretty loud though, Barry. What do you mean? What does that mean for us?
We're good, man. We're good.
My mic doesn't even work. What are you talking about?
Keep Barry trying to figure it out over there. What have you been up to since we've last met? You've had the Latino Film Festival events.
Yes,
we have an event coming up this weekend. Keep us abreast. What's going on?
So, right this Saturday, we're going to have a meet and greet on Hillcrest, Studio Door Gallery. We're going to have tacos from Frida Tacos. We're going to have a pop-up shop from my brand. We're going to have all the Aztec line. We're going to have interactive pieces as well as prints. We just want to start. This is going to be the event that starts our season. You know, after this, we're going to go everywhere. We're going to have a lot of events in LA, a lot of events here in San Diego. We're part of a lot of organizations that we're just putting our calendars together. We're heading to, where are we going on the 27th? North of LA, we have a golf tournament. You know, we're doing what we can. As a matter of fact,
an artist world, small business owner,
yeah,
building the brand.
Dude, something that actually just happened, and it just made me really, really, really proud of my journey. When I started the Catch 22 about the galleries, right? You can't be in a gallery
unless you've been in a gallery.
So my strategy was like, okay, then do work for people that is well established. So your name started to buzz, you know. Fast forwarding 10, 11 years later, this past weekend on Saturday, I was commissioned by Laguna Art Gallery, a huge gallery in Mission Viejo,
Lana.
To make a painting of Kit Haring, one of the most iconic artists in history. And it was auctioned before his. So my painting was in an art auction in a fine art gallery in Mission Viejo next to a Kit Haring, a $50,000 Kit Haring. You know, so to me,
can you take a moment at that point and be like,
you know,
I can
what?
Pat myself on the back
you
now.
You know what? I didn't even think about it. My wife was the one that told me.
It's like,
you need to be very proud of what you did. I didn't put it together because, like I said, I don't dwell into anything. I always say this. When I go to an event or whatever, right before the event, I'm like, I just want this to get over with.
I just
want to get this done. Whatever the outcome is going to be, I just wanted to get this done.
On to the next.
Exactly. Yeah. On to the next. And that's my mindset. So I didn't even think about what I just told you. You know, it's a Keith Haring. $50,000 art auction, and yours was before his, you know, and there was Basquiat's, there was another, like, it was real, real, real fine art, you know. So there's these guys that used to pick up beans in Altai, started to do paintings, and now he's there, you know. So that's the journey that you need to appreciate, and that's what I, you know, want other artists to understand. You know, you need to be patient, and you need to keep grinding. But you need to be loyal to what you do, you know, because it's you the one that's going to make it or not. It's how much you push. It's how much you are willing to, you know.
You're going to get out what you put in.
Exactly.
You're going to get it.
Exactly.
And I think it's inspirational as well that, you know, you look like us, minus the 6'8". You know, like you look like a lot of, you know, people like us.
I am.
You are one of us.
Yeah.
So it should be a blueprint on how to get it done. You know, you studied in Guadalajara, you eventually came over here to the US and you started grinding.
Yeah.
You started doing your thing.
Exactly.
No shortcuts to this success story.
No.
You've gone through everything. You've run through every obstacle to get to where you are now.
Yeah.
And now we're going to do a meet and greet.
Yes.
This Saturday,
Studio Door Gallery in Hillcrest, 5 to 9. We're going to have tacos from Frida's Tacos. We're going to have a lot of giveaways. We have sponsors that we will be posting. You know, their giveaways. We're going to have giveaways hourly. So it's going to be pretty fun.
And like tell me about Dirty. That's the pseudonym for
yes.
Mr. Paco Pablos, apparently.
Yes. So Dirty Fingers comes from, you know, me painting with my fingers. You know, I use materials that allow me to use my fingers in order to blend or to mix or, you know, to do my style. And that's where it comes out. So Dirty Fingers comes from a double entendre type of thing.
Did you paint this one with your fingers?
I wish.
Nasty guys. Look at you guys, bro. How exciting, man.
Yeah,
how exciting just to be, you know, somebody who knows you and watching you go through your steps and doing everything that you're currently doing.
Yeah,
you
know, appreciate it.
Not too long ago, you were involved with the San Diego Latino Film Festival.
Yes, I try to use my platform as big or as small as it can be, but to use my platform to give opportunities, because I understand what an opportunity is. Someone gave me an opportunity and I took it and ran with it, and here I am. So I want to give it back. So every time that I can, I get involved with a variety of events where I can use my name as a platform for other artists. So now we can bring artists from Mexico and put them in exhibitions where Paco Pablo Studios is present, you know, and that way we give them artists an opportunity to shine. Because who knows, maybe the next Picasso is down there and we don't know.
And we don't know.
Exactly. But if we give him a chance, that might be his time to shine. You know, and if he shines, well, good luck, my friend. You know, I'm more than happy to open you the doors.
Very nice. So what exactly was the event with a Latino Film Festival?
This one was the unveiling of the Latino Film Festival poster. Every year they do their poster contest. This was my first time getting it, because every time I was just as an exhibitor, as a feature artist, I always missed the deadlines, or I always had to do something else and I didn't have the opportunity. But this time I was like, no, I got to do it. And dude, it was a hell of a contest.
Yeah.
All of them were really good.
Very nice.
Really, really good. I don't want to sound like a hater because I lost, but dude, all of them were really good. Yes. I mean, I was like, holy shit. If I wasn't here, I wouldn't know which one to pick, because there was a lot of them that were really good. So I'm like, okay, so next year we're going to bring it.
I was going to ask, yeah, does that kind of a scenario motivate you to like take it up a notch for the next time around?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Because you're a basketball player in the past.
Yeah.
So you do have that competitive nature.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you have to. You have to. And although it's a different, you know, it's not obviously sports or physicality or everything, but you still have that mentality.
It's technique, you know? It's
this
talent.
This was my Detroit Pistons for the Jordan, for the Bulls.
There you go.
I'm like, fuck, okay, I need to come back bigger and stronger.
You need to overcome.
You know, exactly. And then you can say whatever the outcome is, it's because the work I put in. You know, and if it doesn't happen, well, you have next year.
I like your approach to things, man. I like just listening to you navigate through these learning experiences.
It's just that you have to be objective, bro. You have, and it's not easy. Don't get me wrong. This type of mindset and this mentality took time, years, you know, because you have to struggle. You have to understand. But there's a point, there's a threshold when you're like, okay, am I really going to give that much energy to this thought or to this thing or to this, when in reality I have no power over it? You know, so what's the point? I'm going to stress out for 5-6 hours thinking about this and I don't have any control in it. You know, it doesn't matter what I do, the outcome won't change. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. So just let it ride. You know, let it ride. And then if something happens that it's not according to what you were looking for, adapt. You know, adapt to that circumstance so you can, you know, get over it. You know, what's the point of worrying about something that hasn't happened? But if it happens, you just adapt to what
happened. I gotta learn that, man. I gotta learn that. Barry, you gotta write that down for me. Okay, there's no need to worry about something until it actually happens. And my wife would agree with you, because it's the truth. Everyone always is like, oh, because I have different scenarios in my head for different circumstances and situations that are going on.
Yeah.
But in my head, I go straight to the worst case scenario. Straight to the worst case scenario. It's like, okay, now what? Now what? And I know it's unhealthy, because I've slowly been like learning how to adapt for that myself.
That's something that it's very from us. That I don't know if it's just Mexicans.
Familiar con los mexicanos.
Yeah, because it's like we were taught to always think the worst when something's going to happen, so you can be prepared.
Yeah.
But what's the point? What's the point of being prepared that you stress so much and you wasted so much energy, so much headache, so much this, so much
all
that?
All for nothing.
All for nothing. Because eventually it might not even happen. And if it didn't happen, well, you have a day that you were completely, you know, horrible.
Unnecessary stress added on your life. Exactly. Unnecessary everything. Too much negativity. You eventually create that reality.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. You create that reality simply by thinking the worst.
Yeah.
I'm learning, Paco.
Good.
I'm learning, fool.
Good.
Well, last time we had you on here, you were a man of many stories, bro. You have many stories at your disposal.
Yeah.
You have many crazy interactions. Man. You've done a lot of collaborations. Some of your collaborations are like, how the heck does this happen? That's a great collaboration. Like your 50 Cent ones, the Julio Cesar Chavez. Yeah,
Julio Cesar Chavez is a very, very good story. And I keep it close to my heart just because he was one of the first people that give me a hand, you know, to help me out.
Antonio.
Yeah. Because I was when you're an artist, you can't just say, I do this and that's it. You know, because then you're putting yourself in a box.
Can't do that.
Exactly. So I would knock on every possible door that I had access to in order for me to propel myself with that mindset. And you know, keeping in mind that, okay, if I can relate to famous people, or if I can do a project with famous people, my name is going to therefore, you know, be in their platform, you know? So then you start to think, well, who do I have access to? You know, and one of my friends back then, his dad used to be related to boxing back in Guadalajara. And he made the connection with the first Julio Cesar Chavez. And from there, I remember the first time I met him, he was really cool, but really quiet.
Okay.
You know, and you can tell it's something that you learn as you go, that the celebrities have the two faces, the face that they give to the public that
the
they
public
want
persona.
To know exactly, and the real self. You know, so you could tell that was their persona. You know, that was like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. You know, what is it? So, you know, we presented the painting. He was very happy with it. We came back, right? I had the connection to his team, you know. So this was in 2013, somewhere around that. By 2018, I was invited to have an exhibition in Cámara de Diputados, which is Congress in Mexico City. I was going to open up the Museo Legislativo in there. So they were going to have an exhibition. So by then, I already had a couple of very big names under my arm. And my goal was to make an exhibition of iconic figures from the United States and from Mexico, you know. So I thought on including him and including, you know, Tony Hawk and including other people that I already work with, to have them sign a piece and dedicate a piece for the show. So when I reach out to Julio Cesar Chavez camp, they say, okay, let's do it. Let's see what it is. Dude.
Let's see the piece.
Let's see the piece.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly look right. At Kylian,
that's exactly right. So that's in his house, but that's the second time. So that piece was made in 2017. In 2018, I had my exhibition. When we were supposed to meet Julio Cesar Chavez at his house, we were supposed to be there around 9 in the morning, all right? And for some reason, we were running late. We were like 9:10. And I had the wife, Julio Cesar Chavez's wife, calling me. Hey, he's getting angry. He needs to leave.
No.
He needs to leave. I'm like,
not
holy
the guy you
wanna
piss off, fool.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, so we run. And we park like, you know, like 3-4 houses from his house. And I remember I get off and I walk towards him. He was like this.
Ingas
looking at me super serious. I'm like, holy shit. Ya valió madre. Ya valió madre.
Me va a meter una cachetada este cabrón.
Yeah, because you can tell that he was angry. And I'm like, hey, campeón, ¿cómo está?
Neta.
He didn't even look at me. I'm like, oh. I'm like, so
first impression,
I know.
Fail.
Yeah, I'm like, God, this is not good. So I have my friend that was coming with me that day, put the piece down. He brought it in. He put it in front of him. His face changed. He's like, a la verga, está bien chingona. Dije, oh.
Exhale.
Exactly. I'm like, whew. All right. So I started to explain to him, you know, what we want to do with this is we want to show it in Cámara de Diputados. So we were thinking if you could dedicate the piece. So he was signing it. He's like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah, yeah. But I want it. I'm like,
no, sir, that's not how this works.
Exactly. I'm like,
we're donating this.
No, we're going to use it for the exhibition.
This is, sí, pero lo quiero.
Sí, no, pero yo la quiero. Quiero una como esa. Dude, I was super excited by his reaction.
For
so
sure.
I'm like, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll promise you the painting. As soon as I'm over with as soon as I don't need the painting anymore. I don't usually give away my shit because it's my work, you know. But to him, it's Julio César Chávez way.
Anímate a decirle que no. Anímate.
So I said, you know what? I'll promise you. As soon as I'm done with the exhibitions and I don't need the piece anymore, I'm going to bring it back to you and you can keep it.
It's yours.
It's yours. He's like, okay. 2018, 2019, 2020, COVID. By all this time, I've been trying. By 2020, I've been trying. Before COVID, I was starting to, you know, put the logistics together and have, because you still have to cross a big ass painting and there's logistics and plus he has his itinerary and everything, right? So you have to coordinate in order for him to be there. What you show was the second time. Okay. When I went back.
This is the delivery.
Yeah, that's the delivery. That's the delivery.
That's why he's smiling.
That's why he's smiling.
Exactly.
Hey, no manches, he's still looking like he's cutting weight, ready to fight. Again.
Dude, every time that I've seen him, he's on sweats, he's all sweaty, and he's like all hyper. It's like he just came back. You can tell that he just came back from training or whatever. But
training.
That's what we call it.
Yeah, he's always active. So when I delivered the painting, that's what he said. He said, con todo el respeto a todos los demás, esta es la pintura más chingona que me han entregado.
Damn.
So for someone,
and you put
like,
it right in front of another painting that somebody had there. Check this out. Look at that.
I like this painting.
This is my favorite. Bing. But there's another one behind it. It doesn't matter.
As a matter of fact, if you look into Julio César Chávez's account, you're going to find his trophy room.
Uh-huh.
My painting is right in the middle. So right in the middle with all his
su
belts.
Gran trofeo, bro.
Fuck yeah, dude. So
how does that make you feel as an artist, dog?
Dude, okay, just picture this. Julio César Chávez is probably one of the few Mexicans that have seen everything around the world because of who he is.
Yeah.
So if he's seen everything and you get that reaction out of him, you know, that tells you something.
That's a check mark in your book.
Exactly, exactly. Because I've seen it too with Ice Cube. I've seen it too with basketball players. I've seen the reactions. You know, believe me, if I didn't create these reactions from people like them, I would not be doing this, you know? But the thing is, I create something that gets those reactions.
That's awesome. Like, it would be awesome to have a book, you know, where you share this story of all of the encounters and collaborations or pieces that you've done for people, and you give a little background of like, oh, this is what I did with Shaquille.
If you go through my Instagram, you're gonna find even rest in peace Devo.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was my bodyguard.
Nathan.
You know, yeah, I got commissioned by Monster to make a painting of him and Wee Man for a show they had in La Jolla. Dude, this guy saw his painting. He grabbed it and like, hey, if you mess with Paco, you mess with me. I'm his security guard. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is Devo. You know, so I'm like, all right.
Took your chain in.
My grandmama gave me that chain.
Imagine though, that would be awesome, man. Because you on Instagram, you just see the photo and a little description.
Yeah. No, you have to see the video. And the other thing is that the first thing that he said after, you know, his whole charade, he's like, I'm going to put this in my living room. And if you go to his Instagram, he's laying down his couch in the painting.
And right
over
there, look
at
you, man.
Yeah. Oh, I found the Julio César Chávez.
Oh, there you go.
There it is. Look at that.
That's a trophy room.
That's awesome, man. Look at you. From the streets of Guadalajara.
That's exactly right. That's
worldwide, exactly
right.
Man.
I always say, make them collect your art like they collect their trophies.
Oof. And he did them both.
They do.
He did it both.
They do. Yeah.
Right there.
That's exactly right. Because I also have soccer players and, you know, sports figures that have my painting.
They seek you out?
Yeah.
Or what, is it because you create this project and you put it on display and then they reach out?
It's a bit of both. Okay. It's a bit of both. Okay. Some of them reach out. Some of them I look for it just because you have to keep grinding. You know, you have to keep creating opportunities. And even if it sounds ridiculous, you know, I will go for it.
Well, yeah, like the Ice Cube one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Ice Cube came out because my partner in China, he was the one taking Big Three to China. So they commissioned me to make
the basketball league.
Yes, the basketball league. So I made the exclusive artwork for merchandise over there. And it was all Chinese based and, you know, armors and all of that. So that's how I started the relationship there. You know, but that came up because I was, you know, knocking on doors.
You know what I should do is I should do this little Ice Cube piece and then pasa lo presentas.
Well, actually, the Ice Cube was like their way of introducing me to him.
Okay.
You know, there's a video where the first time I met him, I got commissioned by Park because they wanted to do something for his birthday. And that was actually the weekend before. That's the one. I straight up from Guadalajara. I remember if you see that picture, the picture is how do you say it's flipped. It's
inverted.
Flipped. It's inverted because I put the G. I thought that I was putting the G like in Guadalajara, but it was backwards.
Oh, okay.
You know? So if you see the LA in the hat, it's flipped.
It's flipped.
Yeah, so I can have the G.
It says
dude,
AF.
I was still lampareado away. The fucking lights on my face. I'm like, what's
up? It's
the
like,
fuck?
Damn, homie, you shine everywhere you go. Fool. Look at that. You're hella bright.
So that was the first time. So by the second time, that was the original introduction as Paco Pablo's the artist. You know, that one was, yes, this is the artist, but it's a gift from Park. You know? So this time it was different. And this time the video shows him getting in where the painting was. And he's like, oh shit, what is that? And, you know, Clyde Drexler was there and there was a lot.
Glide the glide, yeah, coast to coast.
Oh, that's another piece. I actually got commissioned by the Sports Arena to make one of a kind Dom Perignon bottles or boxes.
Wow, perdón, for bro. Their,
you know, for their talent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they actually commissioned me to make a painting for Luis Miguel, dude.
That was,
oh yeah.
El Luis Miguel.
Luis Miguel, dude. I'm going to say something I might not say. You know how some people say, well, he was being a diva or he was in this, he was this. You always heard the rumors.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to say anything, but I never thought that I would hear this person's coming. He doesn't want anyone to look at him in the eyes.
I need that way. Where do you want me to look at you? At his earlobes?
That's a power move, just straight at his belly.
Exactly. Just everyone look on the floor.
And everybody did.
I don't know. I heard that and I fucking laughed and I left.
Oh,
you know, I'm like, what the fuck? Who are you? Jesus?
I'm Luis Miguel.
Yeah. So anyway.
So you've had those encounters.
Yeah.
How do you act to all these, you know, because when you first started, you were not at the level you are now. So is it easy for you to adapt to those situations and play to those?
You know what? I never.
Egos.
I never got like starstruck just because I always see people as an equal. You know, you might be very talented at doing something, but really that doesn't give you the right or, you know, or to believe that you're better than anyone else. You know, I'm not going to lie. If I see Jordan, I would probably be starstruck completely. I would.
This dude, he's brought up Jordan like 4 or 5 times
dude,
today.
I'm from
get
the
it.
90s.
I get
I'm
it.
I'm from the 90s. I'm from the 90s.
Super Jordan fan, but you're wearing Adidas. No, no pasa nada.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Hey, he's not paying me. But
have you ever met him? Never?
No.
No? No. Ever created it? Oh, there it
well,
is.
Well, we have a collaboration with a South African artist. We're going to do something with, he has the Guinness record of the smallest sculpture ever created, and he also has a basketball statue that it's in a weird angle. It's just like twisted like a it's like in a weird pipe shape, but when you look at it in certain angle
you
there's a
all.
Basketball it's a guy dunking. So what we're gonna do with the painting
that's
is
cool.
I know we created this dunk as an aerial. We want it to be Jordan just because, you know, basketball Jordan's the thing that goes everywhere in the world. So we choose Jordan to do this. So basically what we do is we make the painting interactive. Mm-hmm. Where it's going to tell you a story of how yes. he dunked, and then he turns into metal and liquefied so he can turn into the sculpture.
Oh,
so
man.
The sculpture is going to be down there, the painting and the sculpture.
Mushrooms. I feel like I'm gonna need mushrooms to enhance and get fully interactive with that project right there, man.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we have several things, you know, going on. Hopefully, you know, I always say if he happens, he happens. I don't dwell.
You got to keep logs in the fire. You got to keep looking.
I'm always going to have the opportunities ready to go, you know, because you never know when the door is going to open.
What is your dream collaboration? Ready. What is something that you've always thought about doing, but haven't quite done it yet?
Fuck collaborations, man. Mm-hmm. I want to be my own.
Yes,
I want people to say.
Full collaboration, Barry. Make sure you write that down.
I quit.
obviously, collaborations are really good because you're using both platforms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the time, one is way bigger than the other.
Obviously.
You know, but, you know, I always want to see the vision that I have for what I do is to be an empire by its own.
Mm.
You know, an empire on its own because it has the history, the motivational history that you need to motivate people to reach the goals that you are, you know, setting yourself to do. And also it shows everyone that was, you know, doubtful about what can you do.
That's right.
I stop.
¿Qué más quieren?
What else do you want from me?
Yeah.
Are you not entertained?
Mm-hmm. Damn, look at got Gladiator on her ass.
He's out here dropping lines.
You're done with the Jordans, so I have to do something else.
Now what? Good for you, man. It's honestly a privilege to even get to know you and to continue to grow our relationship and just watch what you're doing, man. Somebody can go down on your Instagram page and lose themselves and be like, oh, because you literally tell the story of all of your interactions.
Yeah, and that's it. That's why I was going with the experiences, you know, the what happens to you, because it doesn't matter how much money you have. Dave was not your bodyguard. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, how well connected you are. Your painting is not Julio Cesar's favorite. You know, so those are the stories that I like to talk. To me, they're worth more than money. Mm-hmm. You know, they were, because that's a very unique. It just happens to you and to
an
you
experience.
Only. Exactly. So that's what I appreciate the most. You know, obviously money is good and all of those things that come with it. It's really good. But at the end of the day, you know, you want the experience, you want the memories, you want the things that are one of a kind for you. You know, so if someone says your name, if someone says your art, if someone says your whatever, it's your, you know, no one else's. So that's a unique feeling.
Look at that, man. I'm soaking up everything he says today, bro.
I've been deep diving on his Instagram this whole time.
He's talking, I'm just like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. This Saturday, though.
Yeah.
Let's not forget. We're going to go get a chance to go meet and greet Dirty Fingers himself, a.k.a. Paco Pablos.
That's right.
February 10th from 5 to 9 at the Studio Door Gallery, 3867 4th Avenue. Raffles y tacos by Fria Taqueria. ¿Qué más quieres, bro? ¿Qué más quieres?
You want to bring Mexicans? Bring tacos, man.
Bro, thank you very much for making time to come down here.
No, of course.
This is your home. This is your home. Whenever you want to just pop in and then share some more stories, please let us know. We're big fans.
I love what you guys are doing. I love when someone just say, fuck this, let's bring the community together just because we can and we should.
Yes.
You know, because at the end of the day, that's what we are. We're a community. You're far away from me. I would join you every Sunday in your bike rides, but you're
it's a big ass bike, Paco.
I do have it.
That's
though.
A big ass bike.
I do have it. But, you know, I would love to do things like that for the community where you are in, right? Whatever you are. When you do things for your community has you. You know, mm-hmm. they have your back. So I love what you guys are doing here because it's
thank you.
You know, it's something good to look for.
We have an army. You know, it's taken time to build up what we've gotten, but we have leaders within the crew that, you know, take it upon themselves to continue to grow what we're doing. And fortunately, la comunidad los respalda, dude. They definitely get our back, and we're out here doing it for a good cause.
Yeah, that's
it's not self-serving where it's like, oh, we'll do this if it does this for us.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, people see that.
Yeah, people see through the bullshit.
Exactly.
You know, you're not faking the funk. It's like, oh, no, these guys are out there doing it, and we're riding bikes and collecting, you know, cleaning supplies and hygiene kits for people who went through a rough patch with the flood.
Yeah.
You know, we're out there helping and doing what we can. Where one of the guys in our crew, Justin J. Clip, he's leading the charge because he knows what it needs to get done, and he gets it done.
That's great, man. When you have a group of people that are like-minded, and they just have their priorities straight. You know, our community is their priority. Whatever we're gonna do with our community, how do we make it better? What can we do to bring it together? You know, that's what matters. You know, because at the end of the day, that's the power that someone has. You know, the power that you have to say, "Hey, community, let's meet up here," and they come. You know, that's power.
It's weird.
It is weird.
It's fucking weird.
It is weird, but that's real power, you know, because literally you called them, they came.
Yeah. We've been working hard on making shit like that happen.
Hey, but
because not everybody can help. You know, sometimes there's situations and there's problems where not the people in control can help out. So where there's that void is where we want to get in and fit and see if we can help, you know?
And sometimes just by the mere presence, you know, by the mere presence that you guys are there, it shows that you're supporting a cause. You know, so that's always good. You know, I'm always down to help the community. I'm always down to do, because like I said, a lot of people help me, you know, so it's just right to give back whenever you can. Speaking about the community, shout out to my homie, Mike from Silver Dollar. Keep him in your guys' prayer. He's, you know, going through his chemotherapy. He's
Silver Dollar solid, aquí en la tercera.
Yes, Silver Dollar.
Oh, dude. Man.
Yeah, he's a sick ass dude, man.
Okay.
He's really one of those guys that you appreciate what he does. You know, so when I heard that he got into this situation, you know, I tell him, dude, I'm going to check on you every day, or at least every day. And I have, you know, just because it's one of those things that you are in a bad situation and you have absolutely nothing to do with it, you know, but you have to keep the positive thoughts. You know, you have to keep that mindset, that mentality that it doesn't matter how bad it is. I can get out of this. You know, so shut up, Mike.
Damn, man, you are a loyal guy. You are a loyal guy and a very positive, driven guy.
Well, it's just that loyalty is the only thing you have.
It's the highest form of currency.
Exactly. It's you know that you're safe when people around you are loyal. You know, and then you don't have to worry about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to.
If anything, it's one less thing to worry about.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like if I got loyal people around me, it's like, okay, I don't have to worry about getting stabbed in the back.
Exactly.
Or somebody tripping me up when I'm not watching.
That's the reason why when you have loyal people, your circle is this big. So
hella small.
Yeah. That's the reason why they're the ones that I have that are loyal. I keep them close, you know, because I want to know that you're doing good. And if I can help you doing something, dude, it doesn't cost me anything to check up on you every day.
Cero.
And the outcome might be like, hey, dude, I used to read your text every day and they,
you got me through some dark times, man.
Exactly.
You never know.
So, you know, it doesn't cost anything, you know, and if that can help, why not?
You know, wise words from a wise man, dog. Awesome to see you again.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Awesome to talk to you.
Yeah, definitely.
We're here championing your cause too.
Thank you very much, man.
You have us in your corner, whatever you need from us. We got you. Ladies and gentlemen, Dirty Fingers, aka Paco Paco.
Dirty Fingers.